Morning. Thank you very much for coming. Good to see everybody. I think Rabbi Adler already announced that from Elul, I believe, I don't know exactly the date, I think it's probably the beginning of Elul, the things will be reconfigured at the OU, both in terms of the geography and dates as well. There's a lot of work going to be going on the road here, Bezrat Hashem, with the new rail coming in soon. So I will be moving to Wednesday, to keeping a 10:15 on Wednesday, but I will be probably at Bet Knesset HaNasih. I know it's not the most the easiest place to park, etc., but that is the current plan. There will be, as far as I'm aware, no shiurim between Tisha B'Av and Elul, because there's going to be a lot of moving around, but I will confirm that for sure next week. But that is my understanding, that they're taking a few weeks out of programming to do a lot of the, you know, moving things around and transferring. Okay, we are in a series, a bigger series about Minhagim and a mini series about Kaddish. We already had part one. This is part two, and next week, please God, there will be a part three. Let me just start by first of all asking you to turn off your phones, please. So please do that now. And also thanking our sponsors for 2024, that all the shirim for this academic year are sponsored, Le'ilu Nishmois Branabas Branded, and Zelig Ben Kalman Aleim HaShalom. So please turn off your phones. And I'll make a recap. Last week in part one, we started talking about Kaddish in its broadest sense. We looked at its roots in terms of the wording of Kaddish in Tanakh, in Yechezkel, in Daniel, in Tehillim. We debated the origins of the prayer. Remember, the Oruch HaShulchan said he thought it went back to the early Second Temple when they were putting together all the other tefillot. Whereas we saw the Oruch HaChaim thought that it didn't date from then. It dated a little bit later. The Kaddish that we have, it dated from the beginning of the period, or around the end of the period of the Mishnah. Just before that, Rabbi Yosei, we saw Rabbi Yosei had a big input into formulating Kaddish, ideas of Kaddish. He was in the Gemara there in Brochas. We talked last time about the Chazal consistently stress the importance of Yehei Shemei Rabbah. We looked at many, many sources, and we saw there were basically two ways of understanding the words, the phrase Yehei Shemei Rabbah Mavarach Liolam Liyom Yomaya. Where do you put the comma? Do you say Yehei Shemei Rabbah, comma? That's one tefillah. May God's name, Shmei, Shem, Yud, and Ahei, the short name, be made Rabbah, be made great. And we talked about Amalek, that Amalek is the one that's keeping the name of God from being properly fulfilled, but eventually it'll be not just Yud and Ahei, but Yud and Ahei and Avav and Ahei, and Bayom Ahu Ayyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, there'll be a Shleimut to Hashem's name. That's one way of looking at it. It's Yehei Shmei Rabbah, comma, and Mevorach Liolam Liomaya. We saw Tosfot didn't like that, and Tosfot said, no, we think it's the commas after the word Mevorach. Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevorach. May his great name be blessed. We looked at that last week. And then we started to look at the, if you like, the mainstreaming of Kaddish from a tefillah that was said after a drasha. That's where it came from. It was on Agadah. People who'd said Agadah, if the Rav had said Agadah, and there were a lot of people gathered to learn Agadah. We talked a bit about that. There were always more people interested in learning Agadah than there were in learning Halakha. And therefore, you had a big crowd there. Time to do a Kiddush Hashem. It's a mitzvah, the writer, and the Kaddish Shem Shemaim. They would say, therefore, Yit Gadal, Yit Kadash, Shemei Rabbah, and everyone would answer after the learning. It was a drash-based tefillah. And we saw already the beginnings of Masechet Sofrim. You see a lot of our Minhagim. We've had Masechet Sofrim a few times. Masechet Sofrim from around the 7th century starts to mainstream Kaddish into the mainstream davening. We're using now Kaddish as a way of breaking up the davening into different segments. And maybe let's start with that today. Let's start with Masechet Sofrim. It's not a source we saw last week. It's a new one. Look at source number one. Says Masechet Sofrim, again, slightly later than the rest of the Gemara. Ein omrim kaddish baruch hu pachot me'asara. Already we saw the Mishnah did not mention the need for a minyan for Kaddish, because the Mishnah was not dealing with mainstream Kaddish. But Masechet Sofrim later says, yes, you need a minyan. V'nagu anshei ma'arav v'anshei mizrach. And there's a universal minhag in Israel and in Babylonia. La'omra la'acha oseh shalom. After you said oseh shalom, meaning the end of your Shmona Esrei, b'shlosh tefilot shel Shmona Esrei, you say a Kaddish. There has to be a Kaddish after Shmona Esrei. That's what Masechet Sofrim says. And of course, we know what that is today. For Mincha and for Maariv, that's what we call Kaddish Titzkabel. Please accept our prayers of Shmona Esrei. And in the morning, we do a Chetzi Kaddish straight after Shmona Esrei, after Tachanun, and then we do a Kaddish Titzkabel a little bit later. Okay, fine. And Gezeira, why are we doing all these different Kaddishes? Mishuma Nichnasim V'Hayotzim. And we're doing extra Kaddishes because people come late, people come early. V'afilu acha kriyat Sefer Torah. And therefore we'll have more Kaddishes. We'll have a Kaddish after reading the Sefer Torah as well. Why? Because people maybe came late, they missed, they'll leave early, they'll miss the late Kaddish, or they came late, they missed an earlier Kaddish, etc., etc. So we're going to put quite a few Kaddishes into the daily prayers. How many? What is our go-to number? And this is a very interesting source in number 2. Sheva b'yom Hilaltichach. I want to praise you 7 times a day, says Tehillim. Davar Acher says, the Midrash Tehillim, what does this mean? Keneged sheva pa'amim sheshliach tzibor oimer kaddish v'chol yom. There are 7 kaddishim every day. And actually we see that there is something of a concern about doing too many kaddishim. Too much, more is not more in this case, more is less. Because this is meant to be a special occasion. It's Lekadesh Shem Shemayim Befar Hesia. And if we do it again and again and again and again and again, it just becomes like another schlepped out Kaddish. 7 a day. Now, what are the 7 a day? So there's a little bit of a debate about that. Do you count the Kaddish after Aleinu or not? Because that's what we now say is Mourner's Kaddish. And we'll see that Mourner's Kaddish. We haven't even mentioned Mourner's Kaddish yet. The 7 Kaddishes a day, according to Ashkenazim at least, are as follows. Kaddish after Yishtabach in the morning for Shacharit. Kaddish after Tachanun. Okay. Kaddish Titkabel after the main Shacharis. Okay. Maybe the Kaddish after Aleinu. Okay. Maybe that's added in as well. But the Sfaradim are less into that Kaddish because that became Kaddish Yatom. We'll see the Sfaradim were less interested in Kaddish Yatom. Then for Mincha and Maariv, you have 2 Kaddishim in Mincha. Kaddish before Shmona Esrei, Kaddish after Shmona Esrei Tachanun. And then Maariv, what are you going to do about Maariv? So those that count the Kaddish after Aleinu, meaning they had 4 in Shacharis, only have 1 for Maariv. 1 Kaddish is the one before Shmona Esrei, the one after Kriya Shema. Because that's the mitzvah you do at night. That's the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. What about the Kaddish at the end of Maariv? That's after Shmona Esrei. And as we all know, Shmona Esrei in Maariv, technically speaking, is Reshut. It wasn't one of the obligatory davenings of the day. There's a big debate in that. So according to the Ashkenazim, really, it's the 4 in Shacharis and 2 in Mincha and 1 in Maariv. Okay, you could take out one of the ones in Shacharis and add in the one at the end of Maariv, but you'll see a big difference sometimes with Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. Ashkenazi shuls are very particular there has to be a Kaddish after Aleinu in the morning. And even if there's a kind of silence and they're waiting for an Avel to say Kaddish and no one's saying Kaddish, someone will jump in and start saying Kaddish, because that's one of the Sheva Kaddishim. Whereas the Sfaradim, if there's no Kaddish after Aleinu, like, Nishkefelech. I mean, they don't say Nishkefelech. They say the Sfaradi equivalent of Nishkefelech. Okay? They're not as makpid about that Kaddish, yes.
What about the 1 in the morning after
Rabbi Yishra? Oh, we haven't got there yet. We haven't got there yet. We're going to get there right now. Because what we now add to those 7 mandatory, I never know which way to say it, Kadeshim, okay, is 7, probably 7 Kaddish Yatoms. It's interesting, that number 7. How many extra Kaddish Yatoms? Now that we say Mourner's Kaddish a lot, and we'll get to where it comes from, we say 7 a day. What are the 7 a day? So we do the Ashkenazim again. They do 1 after Rabbi Yishmael in the morning, 1 before Baruch She'amar, okay, after the Tehillim. Then they do after Aleinu, after Shir Shal Yom, and after Enkel Okeinu, at least in Israel. Okay, then they do 1 after Aleinu for Mincha, and 1 after Aleinu for Maariv. Hey presto, we've got 7 Kaddishim. And even if you're Sfardi, and you say, well, we don't do an extra one before Baruch She'amar, well, you know what? They do an extra one in Maariv. They do a Shir Amal or an extra one in Mincha. So somehow or other, we're always aiming for this 7. It's not perfect. And you get Minhagim that do more and Minhagim that do less. But that's more or less the structure. Yes?
I counted the one after Aleinu twice.
I was hoping no one's going to pick that up. Okay? You're right. I have kind of counted the one after Aleinu twice. And so maybe that works better if that's not one of the Sheva. What's the difference? So the Sheva Kaddishim that are part, the Kaddishim that are part of the davening, they're actually halachas. You're not meant to be reading at the same time. You're meant to be listening. The other Kaddishes, like, I'm not so sure that it's the same exact halachic structure. Anyway, let's move in. Let's jump in because there's a lot more that we have to do. There are now 5 different different kinds of Kaddish, and I'm not getting into all of them, half Kaddish and full Kaddish and Kaddish Darabon on a mourner's Kaddish and the special Kaddish at the burial or the scene. We'll get onto that in a minute. And I brought you the Prima Gadim in number 3. You can read that at your own in your own time. He just basically says what I just said. He goes through the 7 Kaddishim, and he goes through the different types of Kaddish, and then he talks about Chetzi Kaddish. He said, like, Chetzi Kaddish is funny. Like, why do we have this Chetzi Kaddish, which is missing some key parts of Kaddish? And he said, that's just like a divider, to divide up the service. Yes, sir. That's a good question. I'm not sure. Is Midrash Tehillim earlier or later than Masechet Sofrim? Homework. Midrash Tehillim is not an early Midrash. It's a later Midrash, as far as I'm aware. And also Masechet Sofrim is a later Masechta. So we'll have to do it. I'm sure there's an academic debate on this, and I'm sure there's a range. But we can do, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe they're around the same time, but we'll have to do a bit of research on that. The Mishnah Brura jumps in and says, don't forget about the original Kaddish. Let's not lose Kaddish in all the weeds here. The original main, quote-unquote, real Kaddish is the one that you say at the end of a drash, which is the one for the public prism of the Kiddush Hashem, number 4, says the Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll move into Mourner's Kaddish. V'chein, la'acha shalamad eizeinian mitorah, after you learn some Torah sheba alper, yocholom a Kaddish derabonon, you can make a Kaddish derabonon, va'ayin magen avrom, and he quotes the magen avrom, shemasi d'davke im ama achazeh al kol panim mixas davar agadati. You have to say agada. It's always on agada. V'az yocholom a Kaddish derabonon. Ki ikka hakadish ze nitkan al dava agada. Never forget that. The imkain, and if that's the case, or alkain, I should say, mina kol Yisrael loma achapirki avos. The minig is whenever you learn kind of more straight mishnayos, after you say pirki avos for achabami madlikin, and after you say bami madlikin, which is mishnayos we say on Friday night, hamama we say Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Omer, what I've heard sometimes as the patron saint of Avelim. Yeah, Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Omer. Yeah, because that's the agadita. And on Friday night, what do? Amar Abaza, Amar Chanina, Tamid Chachamim, Marvim Shalom Ba'olam, which, by the way, is not a description of what Tamid Chacham are, but a requirement of what it takes to become a Tamid Chacham. You can't just be a Tamid Chacham. I heard this one's from Rabbi Sachs, I remember. You can't just be a Tamid Chacham because you learn a lot of Torah. You have to be someone who is Marvim Shalom La'olam. If you're not Marvim Shalom, if you don't bring peace to the world, so then you're a clever person, but you're not a Talmud Chacham. Okay, that's a different question. But you have to say the Agadah. So, Lefi Zeh, Yesh Li Zeh, Kishalom, the Mishnais. Therefore, when you say Mishnais, make sure you say the Rabbi Hanani, etc. Now, don't forget, you don't need to be an Avel in order to say that Kaddish. It's nothing to do with Avel. That Kaddish is on Agadah. That's the real Kaddish. And therefore, many people, even if they're not Avelim, say that Kaddish. It's got really nothing to do with Avelis at all. Fine. Let's move into Mourner's Kaddish, because there's nothing more, if you like, symbolic of Jewish prayer to so many Jews out there as the Kaddish Darabonon. Even in, I think, in one of the Rocky movies, Sylvester Stallone had to say Kaddish, you know, in one of those. You have to get a Kaddish in somewhere in order to, for Hollywood. I'm not such a big Rocky fan, but you can look it up and see where that works. What has Kaddish got to do with mourners? And the answer is, well, apparently nothing. There's nothing about death in the Kaddish. Okay, in the special Kaddish you say at a funeral and a seum, there's a reference to Tchiyat HaMeitim, but the regular Kaddish has nothing about death. So, start with the Mishnah in Midot. This is a fascinating entree to this. Number 5. Kol ha-nichnasim lahar habayit. If you're going to go to Har HaBayit, nichnasim derech yamin, you go in, usually at the Chulda gates in the south, you turn right. Everyone has to turn right. There's a traffic flow in the Beis HaMikdash. You turn right. And you come out through a different door on the left. Everyone basically has to walk counterclockwise. And if you're English, anti-clockwise. Okay? Everyone has to walk in that direction. Chutz mimisha iru dava. Apart from someone who had a special occasion. Shehu makiv l'smol. And they go the other way. They enter into the Beis HaMikdash and they turn left, not right. So they bump into everybody as they're going round. Malacha makif lesmol. Okay, they'll say to him, why are you going the wrong way around? So they say, Shalei Avel, I'm an Avelis. This is how Avelim announced their Avelis. They didn't just clap and say, I'm an Avel. They walked the wrong way around the Beis HaMikdash so everybody would see them and they would respond, Hashoichen bebayit hazeh yinachmecha. funeral. It's beautiful. They would give them nichum aveilim. They say, "I'm really sorry to hear that." And everybody would see the aveilim as they walked around. Also, chatanim, they had a whole special thing for them too.
People change their suits when they're in.
That's an interesting question. I don't know. So that people who never spoke to them in shul before will say, "Who are you?" And they say, "Oh, I." What's that?
That's why they changed.
Yeah, maybe. That's very nice. Like, why did you change your seat? Oh, I didn't know. It's beautiful. I've never heard that. It could well be. And therefore, that was in the Beis HaMikdash. What do you do after the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed? You can't do this. So then look now in Masechet Sofrim, number 6. Mishechara Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hitkinu sheyu chatanim va'aveilim, these two special groups that want to announce to the tzibur, the chasanim and the new aveilim, ba'im lebeis hakneset, they would come specially to the shul, kedei likmul chasadim lezeh lezeh, so the people could do the mitzvah, they could give a simcha to the chasanim, and they could give nichum aveilim to the aveilim. So what did they do? Chatanim, the chatanim, lekalsan ul halvasam lebeisim, to accompany them and to sing to them, etc. And aveilim, what did they do? Aveilim, la'achashig mo chazan tefillah. After the chazan had finished the main tefillah in shul, shel musaf. So which day is this? Shabbos, maybe Shabbos and Yontov. Hoylech lo achoyre delis shel beis haknesses. They would go to the back, to the door of the shul, or bepinat haknesset, or to the corner of the shul, and that's where the aveilim would be. And the aveilim and their immediate family would be sitting in this place by the back of the door, by the side of the shul. And he would give them a special brocha, a special nichum aveilim. And then the chazan would say kaddish. Why is the chazan saying kaddish? Not because the chazan's an avel, and it's not the aveilim that are saying kaddish. It's the chazan is saying, you are sitting Kaddish, we give you a brocha, they probably ended with Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha Omer, or something with a gadata as part of that. Often, don't forget, a drosha ends with a kind of drush, with an agadata, with a nice idea. And they would say Kaddish as part of the agadata. So the Kaddish was connected with the Avelim, but it wasn't the Avelim saying the Kaddish, which is very, very interesting. Now, here already, there's always been first class and second class citizens in shul. Have a look at this. The Ein Omrim, and you don't make the special Kaddish, Ba'alma de Asid Lechadata, which is the special Kaddish you said, now we say the Siyam, or we say the funeral, Ela ala Talmud or ala Darshan. If the person who died was a big Talmud, Chacham was a big Darshan, was a well-known person, so they get a bigger Kaddish. And if it was a regular person, they get a regular Kaddish. But it's always the Chazan that's saying the Kaddish. Now, this is not our minhag today. Have you ever seen this? I've never seen this. Now we have a minhag, we bring in the Avelim after Kabbalat Shabbat. Now, why didn't they record that? Because they'd never heard of Kabbalat Shabbat. Kabbalat Shabbat was invented in the 15th, 16th century by the Gerushei Sfarad, who came to Israel and developed Kabbalat Shabbat. So we kind of pushed our Nichum Aveilim into Kabbalat Shabbat. I didn't research the history of how that happened, but you see it's basically shifted from one to the other. Fine. Okay, Beseder Gemor. Now, what else does Kaddish have to do with death or funerals? So we'll see number 7. The Ga'onim asked an interesting question. Here, look at number 7. Siduk Hadin. Siduk Hadin is where a person, like Elena, has a funeral, and they stop 7 times in the funeral, and they say something like, they say a gadata, and they say a kaddish, and the mourner, now the mourners say kaddish on these 7 stops. He says, Siduk Hadin, mitzvah shechayavim hatzibur. This is a mitzvah for all the tzibur to take part in. Kedai Marina, as we quote the Gemara here, Mavak and Talmud Torah lehoitzas ameisul haknasas kala. We take people out of the yeshivas in order to go to funerals, in order to go to weddings as well. I actually think maybe people are doing this at the moment, that all the yeshivas in Israel right now should have a group of people who are specifically taken to go to the funerals of chayalim. From every yeshiva, it's a soldier's funeral. Like 3 people from this yeshiva, 3 people from this yeshiva, and they should have like a rota that everybody goes to a funeral of a chayal, because it's explicit. Mavaklin Talmud Torah, if you want to say you don't want to be Mavaklin Talmud Torah to serve in the army for 2 years, and we had a whole series of shirim on that, then to go to a funeral, there's nothing to talk. Anyway, that's just a thought. Utsrichin lekaddish aleha, and you need to make kaddish at the funeral. Who? Who's making kaddish? Umiksas a ga'in in Amram. There are some ga'in in that said, "She'ein roilam a kaddish. You shouldn't be saying kaddish." Achas siduk kedin at these stops at the funeral. Atriyam a kaddish ela al davar shehumin yin a mitzvah. You only say kaddish when you've been doing a mitzvah. The mitzvah is the kfura, not the stopping along the way afterwards. The ga'in echayrim and other ga'onim from this period of the ga'onic period, Amru she'ein shama sakash a kfura min a mitzvah. It's all part of the same mitzvah. You bury the person, now you're giving them kavod. And then it asks a very interesting question. The im yesh et nafshech aloyma, if you have a question, lama lo yomer kaddish b'hachnasas kala l'chupa? We should be saying kaddish l'chupa. This would be very strange, no? Like under the chuppah, suddenly the Masada Kedushin says, Rebbe Chananya ben Akasha Oimer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakeh Tzitz Yisrael, we'll say Kaddish. Kaddish is there because it's a mitzvah. Shehi mitzvah, v'hi ba'asara, meaning at the funeral, I'm saying Kaddish because, not because you're an avel, but because we're doing a mitzvah, or because we're giving a gadata, and therefore we're doing a public Kiddush Hashem. So we could do that at a wedding. Why don't we do that at a wedding? You can't do that at the wedding, he says. Not because it's sad. There's nothing sad about Kaddish. People didn't come to the wedding to do a mitzvah. The Chosan and the Kala came to the wedding to them to do a mitzvah. It's not the same kind of mitzvah. You could argue with this that everyone who's at the mitzvah, at the wedding, is doing the mitzvah of the Hachnis Kala Lechupata, okay? It's a good question. I don't exactly understand why it's less of a mitzvah than a funeral. There's nothing on which you can say a Kaddish. Because the Kaddish is on the mitzvah, the Kaddish is on the Shevach, the Kaddish is not stone. Which is very, very interesting. So far we haven't seen any suggestion that an Avil themselves should say Kaddish. Either someone saying Kaddish to be Nichum Menachem Avelim, because they're, you know, the Chazan at the back of the shul, and they said a drash and say Kaddish. The first time we start to see Kaddish mentioned as a minhag for Avelim is in the early, or the high Middle Ages, around the 11th century. We're gonna see an amazing source in a minute. Some of you will be familiar with it in a few moments. But first we have to talk a little bit about Gehenna. Okay? Now, Gehenna is a very complicated topic. And there are lots of different ways that you can work out who goes where and when and how long, etc., etc. And there's a whole Daf Gemara, which I will bring you a little bit of from Rosh Hashanah, which just try to make like shalom of all the different types of people. And actually the Art Scroll commentary there has a pretty good summary and tries to work it all out. But let's just look at the source here in number 8. This is from a Tosefta in Sanhedrin. And it's trying to work out which are the people that get the worst time in Gehenna and which get a less terrible time. So we're already past the best people here. The best people don't even go to Gehenna at all. They go straight to Gan Eden. Other people go to Gehenna and they just have a quick stop and they get, you know, cleaned out and then they go off to Gan Eden. But these are already onto the people who are really having a hard time. Number 8. Poishe Yisrael Begufa. Certain sinners of the Jewish people who sin with their body. And this is not just any sin with the body. The Gemara goes to talk about it's very severe sins that people do with their body. Maybe sexual immorality of different kinds. And people in the non-Jewish world who also sin with their body. It's not just a Jewish affair. Gehenna. It's a pluralistic environment. Yordin leGehenna. They go down to Gehenna. V'nidoni ba shnei masachodesh. Oh, 12 months in Gehenna. And after 12 months, I'm afraid they don't go anywhere good. Nafshosan kala, then their souls are destroyed. Vegufon nisraf, and their bodies are burnt up. Vegehenem poletet v'nasem eifa, and Gehenem spits them out and turns them into ashes. And the wind blows their dust, they're basically cut off and destroyed under the feet of the tzaddikim, and it brings a posik from Malachi, which it actually quotes in a different way than the original posik I brought you both. There's always a debate when the Gemara quotes a posik differently than the posik in Tanakh. What are you going to say? Are you going to say, well, yeah, they had an alternative variant girsa of the Tanakh? Some people might suggest that, but often it's because the Gemara is Teresh about Peh. It's not there to quote specific sources directly from the source, and sometimes it paraphrases a little bit. That's a whole shiur in and of itself. So that's one group. Hey, aval haminim, but heretics. Minim was often a word for early Christians. Okay, the Christians called themselves the ma'aminim. We are the true believers, the early Christians. And the Jews then, the rabbis said, you're not the ma'aminim, you're the minim. Minim mean all sorts, like a ragtag group of all sorts coming together to cause trouble. And in fact, the church became very sensitive to this word min, because they realized it was not always a reference to early Christians. And in the Gemara, when they censored the Gemara, they changed it to akum. Ayin chaf vav chupchik mem, which is short for ovdei kochavim umazalot. As if to say, you're not talking about us, you're talking about pagans. And of course, sometimes they did intelligent, find and replace programs on the Gemara, and sometimes they just got bored and said, oh, just replace all. And I don't know about you, but when I just click replace all, I always regret it, because it always changes things that I didn't want to change, and now I have to undo all the mess. And you see that also in the census. There are places we found church census documents where we find the Arba Minim on Sukkos has been crossed out. The minimum has been crossed out and replaced with the Akum, which of course is just the effects of replace all. Okay. Aval haminim, hamushumadim, those who leave Judaism and convert willingly, let's say, to Christianity, the hamosoros, and those who hand over the money and the lives of Jews to the non-Jewish authorities, the apikorsim, all these have definitions, specific types of heretics. The Shekafru B'Torah, those people who deny the authenticity of the divine origins of Torah, again, all very complicated to be defined, not now. Sheporshim Midarchei Tzibah, people who depart from the community, meaning they want to keep mitzvahs, but they don't want to be part of the Jewish people. I go off on my own. I live in Utah, and I'll just do my own thing. I'm not saying it's awesome to live in Utah. I'm just saying that there are certain people who just depart from the community. Shekafru b'tchis ha-mesim, people who deny tchis ha-mesim. V'kal mi shechata v'hechti, it's a rabbim, people who sinned and made the rabbim sin, kagun yiravam, the achav, these terrible people. And now a type, which is an interesting type. Shenatnu chititem, somebody who, people who have placed their, who have oppressed or scared the people in the Eretz Chaim. This is from Pasuk, this I think is in Yeshayahu. Who are those people? We'll see in a minute. Ushipashtu yedehim bezvul, and those who put their hand out on the zvul. What's the zvul? The zvul is a word for the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, those who contributed to destroying the Beis HaMikdash, Ayisinas Chinam. You wanted a link with the times right now in the calendar. Those, all these terrible, terrible sinners and people who contribute to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Sinas Chinam. Now you see what a terrible problem Sinas Chinam is. Okay? Gehenom ne'elet bifnehem. Gehenom locks them in. They're never going to get out. V'nidoidim ba'le doire doiros. They're forever and ever and ever and ever judged in Gehenom. They don't even get turned into ashes and spat out. They are constantly judged, and it brings along posse for this. And then it says at the end, Sha'ol bala, Gehenom will end, V'hein enum balim, and they won't yet be ended. Meaning Gehenom will expire before they expire. Their judgment is forever. Okay, now, let's see what we're going to do with this. Go to number 9. The Gemara, when the Gemara brings this, it adds a few details, and these are going to be important for the story we're going to see in a minute. Number 9. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avi, Upneim domim neshule kedera. And the faces of these people, it's not entirely clear which group. Is it the first group, bad group, or the second really bad group? But their faces are black, like the bottom of a pot. Before they had stainless steel pots. So you put a pot on the fire for long enough, it'll go black. And you can't get the black off. We'll see what that means in a minute. And then the Gemara asks, "V'natu chitim chititem ba'eretz ha'chaim." What are these people who put fear into the community? Amar Rav Chisda, ze parnas. This is a tax collector. Hamatel aim yisera ala tzibur, that frightens the people too much. Shaloi l'shem shamayim, in a way that they don't need to. They lord it over the community. They abuse the community. A Jewish tax collector who is collecting taxes, but they are full of their own importance. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, kol paranas hamatel aim yisera ala tzibur shaloi l'shem shamayim. Any tax collector who creates this fear in the community when there's no need for them to do it, they're not doing it, l'shem shamayim, ein roi ben talmid chacham, they'll never have a son who's a talmid chacham. Now remember all these little details. They're all going to be very, very important. Okay, just, what's that?
Isn't this punishing the son for the sins of...
Oh, well, it's not a sin, sin doesn't exist. The son doesn't exist. Well, because he doesn't have a Talmud Ben who's a Talmud Chacham. It's not that you're saying that the Ben is stopped from being a Talmud Chacham. Okay, so we'll get that. Good question. We'll see if there's any way to kind of get around this. Just store all these details in your mind for now, because we're going to come back to them soon. Look at number 10, another Gemara, and then we'll move into the Heichalot literature. Really interesting stuff. Number 10, says the Gemara, Bara Mazaka Abba. Now, how are you going to translate these words? Bara Mazaka Abba. The son can give a merit to the father, or the child can give a merit to the parent. And next week, when we talk about women saying Kaddish, this is going to be important. Because the word ben in Hebrew is used both in the masculine and in the neuter. We don't have a neuter form. Ben means a son, and ben means a child. The B'nai Yisrael, normally speaking, do not mean the men in the Jewish people. It means all the people in the Jewish people. So we're going to have to look at that next week and see whether these sources are talking about sons specifically or parents. Because it's not talking about fathers. We'll see Abba here doesn't just mean Abba. Abba also means Ima. You say Kaddish, we'll see soon for both parents, the same. Abba lo mezakeh bara, but the father can't do it in the same way for the son. Adichsev, Eimi adi mitzmatzil. And Ein Avraham Matzilit Yishmael, Ein Yitzchak Matzilit Esav. The father can't achieve the same for the child as the child can for the parent. Okay, the father, parent can daven for the child, but it's not exactly the same. There's a special schut of the child that the child can do something for the parent as well. And we'll see how that kicks in a few minutes. Now, what was the Heichalot literature? The Heichalot literature was a genre of literature from, let's say, the 3rd, 4th century through to the 8th, 9th century, which was very mystical in its approach. It talks a lot about different rabbis going up through different levels of heaven, the idea of seven heavens, seventh heaven, of going up all through, like, doors opening and then a new courtyard and doors opening and then a new courtyard. It's really fascinating literature, and it's early mystical literature, pre-Kabbalistic literature. It very much influenced the Hasidei Ashkenaz. The Hasidei Ashkenaz, like Sefer Hasidim of Yehuda Chassid, the Rokeach, Rabbi Eliezer of Worms, were very influenced by this early mystical literature. It's a little after the Gemara. It's a little before the Rishonim. The Sfaradim were not affected by it. The early Sfaradim. The Rambam's got nothing to do with it. It doesn't affect him at all. He ignores it almost entirely. But we'll see it's important for us and for Kaddish. Look at number 11. Let's keep an eye on the time. I don't want to lose track of time. All these sources are so interesting. Number 11. This is based on a Gemara, the idea of who is going to make Kiddush in Shamayim, who is going to be the one who benches in Shamayim. So Amar David Shira Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David will say Shira in front of Hashem. He's the Meshoyra, he's the singer. V'ayin in Achravat Tzadikim, Amen. And all the Tzadikim will answer Amen in Gan Eden. Amen, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavarach Le'olam Yolam Yomar. They all answer Kaddish. Mitoch Gan Eden, from Gan Eden. So they're doing Kiddush Hashem in Gan Eden. Upoishe Yisrael and the sinners, Einin Ame Mitoch Gehenna. The sinners will hear this and they'll fetch out an Amen from Gehenna. Miyad Ame Akadosh Baruch Hu LeMalachim. And the God then turns to the Malachim and says, Mihein Elosh Einin Ame Mitoch Gehenna. Who are these people answering Amen from Gehenna? What's this Amen that I hear? And they'll say to him, the Einus Rabbanu Shel Olam, Hallelu Poshi Yisrael, She'afa Pishyehem Metzara Gedolah. These are the terrible sinners. Even they're in terrible, terrible pain. Mitchaskim Va'omrim Lefanecha Amen. They pull it all together in Gehenna, and they manage to say Amen. So then, Miyad Omer Kodesh Baruch Hashem says to Malachim, Pitzchu Lachem Shari Gan Eden. Open up Gan Eden. V'yavoi V'yizamru Lefanai. And let them come up. Let them in. Let them in. Shine'emar Pitzchu Sharim V'yavo Goy Tzadik. Shomer Emunim, this pasuk in Yeshaya, that the Shomrei Emunim, those who guard the faith, shall be the tzaddikim that enter. Say Chazal, Al Tikra Shomrei Emunim, Ela Shomrei Sheomrim Amenim. Yehei Shmei Rabba has got the Poshe Yisrael, the sinners, out of Gehenna back into Gan Eden. But who's Yehei Shmei Rabba? The tzaddikim in Gan Eden, not anyone saying Kaddish here on earth. It's the people saying Kaddish, it's the tzaddikim saying Kaddish in Shamayim that are getting the people back out of Gehenna, interestingly. And finally, before we get into our main source for today, look at number 12. Another late midrash. This is about a woman who committed all sorts of terrible avarice. In case you thought that the Gemara was, or Chazal, only focused on men and don't talk enough about women, here we'll see this is an equal opportunities Gehenna. And therefore, you have here a woman, and there's someone, one of the tzaddikim, are able to see if they can save her. Amala said that there's a whole preamble to this as to how she got there, and she was tricked there by the Malach HaMaveis. It's fascinating. I missed out about like 20 lines of this. Amala said, then the tzaddik says to her, Be'eza avon yeshlach, what is your sin called din akasha azeh that you have such a terrible Gehenna? Amrala, she says to him, Mipnei harbe ra'is va'avoynes she'asiti, because of the many terrible sins that I did. Ki na'afti le'ish acher, I committed adultery. Chilalti Shabbos, I broke Shabbos. V'nida ha'isi shuchevet in Bali, I slept with my husband when I was a nida, and I pretended I'd been to the mikveh. V'alanim v'yisoyim im lo'i richamti. And as bad as all of these, I didn't have rachamim on the poor. And I didn't have rachamim on the yisomim. I mean, that's an interesting one to put in this list. That when they wanted to include, what are the worst things a person can ever do? They commit adultery, they break Shabbos on purpose, and they're not kind when it comes to the aniyim. It's a big musa, actually, this source. Okay. Ukazotu kasota siti, and that's just the beginning of the list. I did a lot more than this. Amala, so he says to her, Hayesh cholek leshum adam liftotcha? Is there any way to get you out? Min hadin hazeh? Can we get you out of here? So Amala, she says to him, lo. Hayel shalai hayeli banim me'olam. I don't have any children. I never had any kids. This is the first hint that children will be your ticket out of Gehenna. If I only had just one son or one child, again, let's put that on a question for now, through my husband, who could say in public, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavorach. And obviously it has to be a boy. The Kaddish Kuloi, or Kaddish, Haiti Nifdes Beshut Besoif Shanasi. I would have been 12 months and I would have got out. A kid could have got me out of here. So what happens here? Actually, very interesting. Masa Oise Ha'ish, what did that man do who was with her? Halach Lebesa Knesset, who Bikesh Rachamim Lifnei Kaddish Baruch Hu. He was so upset by this. He davened, Bebechi Godel. He cried and he cried. Who Beshibron laid with a broken heart. The Asa Tshuva, and he did personal Tshuva, Gemura. The Loi Zaz Misham Ad Sheparcha Nishmasa, until his soul died. He killed himself. He died over it. Yatsa Baskal, the Amra Baskal, has said, that this man is allowed to get into Olam Haba. In other words, it doesn't exactly say what happened to her. It doesn't confirm that she got out or she didn't get out. But he basically devoted his entire life to try and get out this very serious sinner from Gehenna. Which is also a very, very important point. Which is, doesn't matter how bad you think somebody is, and we'll see a very extreme form of this. Doesn't matter how bad you think the person was in this world, everybody deserves a chance to be schlepped out of Gehenna. And this rabbi, he gave his life to get this woman out of Gehenna. Whether it succeeded or not is a great question. But that all leads us up to the main source in the Machzav Yitro. So I brought this in English.
What's that? In the end of this.
She got her out, but now I'm reading it. I'm not sure she got her out. He went to Gan Eden. Okay, so I need to think about it further. Okay, let's look at this main source. This is the source that many of you will know. And this does not appear in the Gemara. This appears in the Machzav Yitro, of which there are different versions of the Machzav Yitro. It's based on an earlier version, which appears in Kala Rabasi, Seder Eliyahu Zuta, and other places. But the earlier version doesn't refer to Kaddish. The earlier versions refer to other things. This suddenly refers to Kaddish, and it flips to Rabbi Akiva, we'll see. So this again, 12th century France, Machzav Yitro. It once happened that Rabbi Akiva was passing through a cemetery and he came upon a man who was naked, as black as coal. Remember we talked about the idea of the person being black. In the Gehenna, they turned black. And carrying a great burden of thorns on his head. This man is being punished and he has thorns around his head, on his head. You may be even thinking, have I heard about this man before? We'll see. Rabbi Akiva thought that the man who was running like a horse was alive. Rabbi Akiva commanded and stopped him and said to him, why does that man do this difficult work? All the way through this source, this man who's being punished in Gehenna is referred to as Oto Ha'ish. Rabbi Akiva calls him Oto Ha'ish and he calls himself Oto Ha'ish. Interesting. Why is that man having to do this difficult work? If you're a servant and your master treats you this way, I'll redeem you from his hands. If you're poor and people are treating you unfairly, I will enrich you. The man said to him, please do not delay me, lest those appointed over me become angry. Rabbi Akiva said to him, what is this and what are your deeds? The man said to him, that man, me, is dead. And every day I am sent to chop trees. I'm a wood chopper. Now, who else was identified? A few people, but specifically in Chazal. Who was a wood chopper? Rabbi Akiva was a wood chopper. Rabbi Akiva in Avesta, Rabbi Nosson, is referred to as a wood chopper. In fact, he chopped so much wood that his neighbors got upset because he burnt all the smoke and they said the smoke is polluting the yard and you have to chop all this wood. He is a wood chopper, but he sees a man who's a wood chopper. Rabbi Akiva said to him, my son, what was your profession in the world from which you came? And the man said to him, I was a tax collector and I would favor the rich and kill the poor. Bad tax collectors. And not only that, and this is not in Machzav Yitro, but in an earlier version, but once I raped a young engaged woman, Yom Kippur, but the Machzav Yitro is not focusing on that terrible aveira, it's focusing on the tax collection. Rabbi Akiva said to him, haven't you heard anything from those appointed to punish you about how you might be relieved? The man said, please do not delay me, lest those in charge of my punishments become angry. For there is no relief for that man, I hear. But I did hear from those appointed over me one impossible thing. If only this poor man had a son, like the woman we saw before, who didn't have a child, who would stand in front of the congregation and say, Baruch Hu, and have them answer, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mavarach. Now, are they putting those things together, or are they alternatives? Baruch Hu or Kaddish, okay? He would be immediately released from his punishments. But that man never had a son. He's saying, I never had a son. He left his wife pregnant, and I do not know if she had a boy. Now, that sounds like you have to be a boy to do this. And even if she did have a boy, who would teach him Torah? That man, i.e. me, does not have a friend in the world. Immediately, Rabbi Akiva decided to go and see if he had a son in order to teach him Torah and stand in front of the congregation. He said to the man, what is your name? And the man said to him, Akiva. Now, that's a bit creepy. Meaning he's seeing this man who's a woodchopper, who is in Gehenna, and he's called Akiva. And your wife's name, the man said to him, Shoshniba. And the name of your city, Laodicea. Immediately, Rabbi Akiva was extremely saddened. He went to ask after the man. When he arrived in the city, which, by the way, the city may be in Syria, so he had to go potentially a long way in this midrash. When he arrived at the city, he asked after him, and the townspeople said, may the bones of that man be ground up, which is what we say about Hadrian. That's an expression about Hadrian. Rabbi Akiva asked after the man's wife. They said to him, may her memory be erased from the world. He asked after the son, and they said to him, he is uncircumcised. We didn't even engage in the commandment of circumcision for him. Immediately, Rabbi Akiva circumcised him. I should have asked his permission first. And he put a book in front of him. But he wouldn't accept her study. He's not interested. Until Rabbi Akiva fasted for 40 days. And then a voice came out from Shemaim. A heavenly voice said to him, for this you're fasting? Meaning, why are you bothered? Go and be Rabbi Akiva back in Israel. Teach the Jewish people Torah. You're fasting for 40 days to get this guy out of Gehenna who was the worst of the worst. Rabbi Akiva said, Master of the universe, is it not for you that I'm preparing him? Like, why wouldn't I worry about the worst people in the world? Immediately the Holy One opened up the child's heart. Rabbi Akiva taught him Torah and the Shema and grace after meals. Interesting. He then stood the child in front of the congregation. The child said, Baruch Hu. And the congregation answered after him with the Baruch Hashem and Vorach. And in that hour they freed the man from his punishment. Immediately the man came to Rabbi Akiva in a dream and said, may be the will of the Holy One, blessed be he, that you rest in the Garden of Eden, for you have saved me from the judgment of Gehenna. Rabbi Akiva explained, God, your name endures forever. You're renowned God through all generations. That therefore, this is the first reference clearly we have to this. It is customary to appoint a person who does not have a father or mother to lead the services at the conclusion of Shabbat in order to say Baruch Hu or Kaddish. That is the first reference to Kaddish Yatom in Matzah Vitri. It's once a week on Motzei Shabbos, and you do have today Avelim who are very particular to take the Omid on Motzei Shabbos. Once and Ashkenazim and Hasidim, I know that do this. At the end of Shabbos, this person has to say Baruch Hu or Kaddish. Now, what's going on with this source? Why is this source coming out now? So some of the academics turn around and say, well, maybe it's because of the Crusades that all these people are now suffering the martyrdom of the people around them, and they need to try and feel something that they can do to help the neshamas of those people. So I brought you a reference to an article by a very interesting fellow, Professor David Shaivitz. He was in the Gush. He learnt in the Gush. I don't know him personally. But he writes an article and he says, that doesn't make any sense. Those people who died al Kiddush Hashem in the Crusades were considered by the other people, as having reached the highest possible level of Shamayim. These are not the people who are stuck in Gehenna, having to be schlepped out, having done the worst thing. So it doesn't make any sense that it's them. He wants to suggest, obviously there's a reference in here to Christianity, that Oysa Ha'ish, this man who's suffering terribly in Gehenna, and don't forget there are all sorts of parts of the Gemara that were censored out about Jesus. The Gemara does talk about Jesus and the punishment of Jesus in Gehenna, etc., etc. And he wants to suggest it's a reference to him, the thorns and the Osage, which actually itself would be remarkable, because it's saying that even the worst of the worst, there's a way of getting them out of Gehenna. I don't know whether, you know, I agree with that or whether that's correct or not, but there's a lot of interesting things going on here. It could also be Rabbi Akiva is seeing, I heard a share from Joe Wolfson, Rabbi Joe Wolfson, that he's seeing a reflection of himself. Meaning, don't forget, Rabbi Akiva was a Baal Tshuva. He says about himself, when I was a young man, when I saw a Talmud Chacham, I wanted to bite them. I hated, you know, from people so much. And not just bite them like a dog, which leaves a tooth mark, but like them, bite them like a donkey that breaks your whole arm. I hated from people so much. I said, maybe Rabbi Akiva's looking at what he could have been. This is the alter ego of the Rabbi Akiva that could have turned out if he hadn't have done the tshuva because of his wife, etc., etc., etc. But this is the first source. And therefore we see other sources. Look at number 14 from the same school as Machzavitri. From Sidur Rashi. HaChazan Omer V'hu Rachum. This is talking about Moshe Shabbos. The Chazan says V'hu Rachum Baruch Hu Tfilat Avret Keseder Kol HaShana. Actually, this is talking about Moshe Yom Kippur. V'im Moshe Shabbos Hu, if it's also Moshe Shabbos, Yomri V'yitzin Lacha, they say V'yitzin Lacha, which many people still say. V'hakatan, and a kid, a young child, Yomei Kaddish, has says Kaddish. V'yitarim L'beisim Hashem, and everyone goes home, signed off, Shlomo Ben Shlomo Bar Yitzchak. Interesting. A child, a cotton, says Kaddish. Why a cotton says Kaddish? Look at number 15. Again, Machzavitri. Yamod Hanar, a child says, V'omer Kaddish Belotit Kabel, that's Mourner's Kaddish. The Kaddish says, Eino Ela Lechanech Et Atinoka, this is to help the child. Eino Bechal Sheva B'yom Alaticha, this is not one of the Sheva Kaddishes. This is an extra Kaddish. And the first real kind of the codification of this in the halacha is in the Ozarua. Look at number 16. The Ozarua says, Minageinu, our minhag, be'eretz Kana'an, in the land of Canaan. Where is the land of Canaan? Bohemia. Bohemia. Bohemia and Austria. Why? Because they gave names to all of the European countries which were based on the biblical areas. I hate to break it to you, but Ashkenaz is not in Germany, and Sfarad is not in Spain. Ashkenaz and Sfarad are in the Middle East. They're all from Tanakh. Canaan is in the Middle East, and it's the name for Bohemia. They gave all, I'm not sure exactly why, I'm sure you could write a scholarly paper, people probably have, but Eretz Canaan, in Hungary, in Austria-Hungary, he says, the Chaim Minag B'nei Rhinus, and also in the Rhineland, they say this, La'acha Shiyomru Hatzibor, Ein Kelokeinu, after they say Ein Kelokeinu in the morning, whatever, Oymed Hayasoim, a mourner stands up for Oymed Kaddish and says Kaddish. Aval B'Tzarfat, in France, Ra'iti She'enu Makpidim Al-Kach, they're not so makpid on that, Misha Yomer Kaddish, Im Nar Yatom, or Nasha Yeshlo Aveim. They even say an extra Kaddish for someone who is not necessarily an Avel. And our minag is better, because the whole thing is based on this Maaseh of Rabbi Akiva. If not for the Maaseh of Rabbi Akiva, then we wouldn't have this mourner's Kaddish. It's dafka for a child who can't daven from the Omid, who can't say Baruch Hu, who can't say the other Kaddishim. It's for a child who has lost a parent. Now, this is an Ashkenazi reality. Look in the Rambam. No reference anywhere to Kaddish Yatom. No. It crept into Spain as the Kabbalah and mysticism crept into Spain. I brought you number 17, just very briefly. He says the idea in the Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher, who talks in the early 1300s. He talks about the idea of Kaddish. If you look on the Pasuk of the Egla Arufa, Kaper L'Amcha Yisrael. So he says, Darshu B'Psikta, Elu HaMesim, these are the dead, Shemek Miskaprim B'mona Chachayim, that you can push up a level by giving gifts and dedications in their memory. V'lamadnu Mashe HaKdashot, and dedicating things, Shenogim HaChayim La'akdishim Ba'ad HaMesim, Sheyesh Lahem To'elet LaMesim, it'll push them up in Gan Eden. V'koshakein Im HaBen Makdish Ba'ad Aviv, all the more so if the son gives a gift in honor of his father. The son is spending the money of the father in a way which benefits the soul of the father. Here is a very early Sfardi reference to Kaddish. This we see in Kaddish. And you see, this basically moves into the Sephardi world as well. I brought you quite a lot of tshuvot. I'm not going to read every word. I'll leave them for you to read most of them, but I'll give you the bottom line of what they say. The Rivash, which is in 14th century Spain, in number 18, says that yes, we have a minag for a yesoima or yesoim rather for an avel to say kaddish for a year following the death of the parent. There's no mention here of saying for less than a year.
Of saying
For less than a year. 11 months or 11 months and you stop and you start again. There's no, you say for a year because, you know, you say that for everybody. It's the same for every, for Arvel. He talks about that. And he says, you know something, this is not the only way to do this. You can give kids other things to do. They can learn Torah. They can go do Maftir, Haftarah as well. There are other ways of getting the Neshama out of Gehenna, but it's always focused on getting the Neshama out of Gehenna. The Maharil in Ashkenaz is already complaining that people are becoming Kaddish obsessed. They become, you know, anxious when it comes to Kaddish in a way they don't for other things. It didn't take long for Kaddish to become a source of machlokas. Look at number 19. I'll read you a line from the beginning and a line from the middle. The Maharil, Rabbi Yaakov Merlin, the top, he says, the Eicha Minog B'Kaddish Yatom, what do we do with this mourner's Kaddish? Im Yoshvei Ha'iri Yicholim La'akevit Ha'Nachrim Shebo'u Chutz L'Ir Loma Kaddish Yatom Olam. Visitors come to the shul and they want to say Kaddish. And the people in the shul say, you can't say Kaddish. This is our shul. You go back to your shul and say Kaddish. We say Kaddish here, and this is for the Kaddish of the people in this community. Because don't forget, only one person said Kaddish. We're going to get in a minute to multiple people saying Kaddish. Can the people in the town stop the people who are visiting from out of town from staying Kaddish? You see, the shul is already breaking out into machlokas. What's that? Yes, absolutely there are. So look, have a look in the underlined. And he says, Umihai Taima, Nami Lirali, I mean the underlined part in the middle of 19, Afilu Gedolim, even grown people who don't need to say Kaddish, they can daven from the Amud, Kap Di Tvei, they are more concerned, a Kaddish Di Yasayim, about mourners Kaddish, Yosei Mashar Kedei Shebarachu, they're more upset about not saying Kaddish than the opportunity to say Kaddish Shebarachu. Mishum De Kaddish Zeh Hayetzosefet, because this Kaddish is an extra one. People always want to do the extra one. Tell people, well, why don't you do what you have to do? Oh, no, I don't want to do what I have to do. Don't tell me what to do. I want to do the bit I don't have to do. So I don't have to do the bit that I do have to do. He says, like, they're all arguing about, they think they're doing their parents, you know, in the next world, let's say Gehenna for now, a favor by arguing and pushing all these people away. He says, it's just not right. They're obsessed about Kaddish, and they should be doing other things. But the minhag became to actually say Kaddish for the mourner, and also there was all sorts of rules about who gets the Kaddish. And I didn't bring you, could, there are pages and pages and pages in the Achronim. Does it go by who's got the more intense Kaddish? This one's in Shiva, this one's in Shloshim, this one's only in the year. Does it go by who can say a Kaddish tomorrow? This one has a Yortzeit, so he should get priority today because he can't say Kaddish tomorrow, and you can say Kaddish tomorrow. Does it go by the people in the communities? And there are all sorts of rules. Now you know why we don't do this in most places anymore. We say, look, you know something, everybody say Kaddish. And we'll get to that in a minute. Just flip over to page 6. Shulchan Aruch, bottom line, what does it say? So I've got news for you. The Mechaber, which I didn't bring on the sheet, I should have brought it. Rav Yosef Karo for the Sfaradim, he mentions mourner's Kaddish once. And he says that the mourner says Kaddish at a funeral. So, he doesn't say anything about Kaddish in Shul, but the Ramah jumps in. The Ramah in number 21 says, V'omrim Kaddish Yisam Achar Aleinu, you say Kaddish Yisam after Aleinu, V'afilu Ein Yisam Bebeis HaKnesses, even if there isn't a mourner in the Shul, Yoyma Oysa Mishe'en Lo Avein, someone who is not an Avel but has lost a parent, you have to say that Kaddish after Aleinu, it's one of our seven. V'afilu Mishe Yesh Lo Avleim, even someone who does have parents, Yochel Omru can say that Kaddish. It's better someone says it. Im ein aviv imo makbidim, if his parents don't mind. And everybody knows sometimes you have to ask your parents' permission. If your parents are still alive, do you mind if I say Kaddish? Then they say no. Yeah.
A small side point.
Please.
I just wanted to mention, I believe that there were certain chachamim that were against Kaddish because they felt that people would think, no, that's so popular, my kid can be terrible, I can be terrible my whole life.
Right.
And don't worry. So they said
right.
They didn't like this
right.
Kaddish getting so popular.
Sounds like an easy way out. I don't have to worry because my kid will say Kaddish. Yeah? I heard a story of somebody who was saying Kaddish and Kaddish and Kaddish and Kaddish and Shul. And over the year, longer than a year, and a new person came to live in the community. And they came to him and said, like, who are you saying Kaddish for? He said, I'm saying Kaddish for myself. I don't have anyone that can say Kaddish for me when I die, so I'm just saying Kaddish for myself in the hope that it'll help along the way. Okay? I mean, you know, I don't know if it will. But the Mishnah Berurah, by the way, says in Hilchos Yom Kippur, a similar thing, but not quite the same. He says, in the halachas of Yom Kippur afternoon, he says, don't turn around on Yom Kippur afternoon and say, you know what? This is a hopeless task. I'll die and I'll come back as someone else and I'll try better next time. I'm just, you know, Gilgulim. It's just the Gilgulim. I'm giving up this time. He says, don't say that because it's not so posh. It's not so straightforward to like die and come back, and you may not come back in how you wanted to come back and it may not work out. But he says, you know, don't give up for now. Do tshuva and don't rely on Gilgulim. It's actually very, very interesting. He brings that in. You should just know, however, that by the time you get into the Arizal, Kaddish is transformed. Kaddish doesn't become something just to take out people from Gehenna. Kaddish becomes a way to elevate the soul in Gan Eden higher and higher through the different worlds of Asiya and Yetzira and Bria and Atzilut, and it becomes an entire different thing. It's no longer about your parents being in Gehenna. It's about, even if my parents are great tzaddikim, then I want to even raise them higher and higher. Okay, so that's, by the time we hit the Shulchan Aruch, we have Kaddish Yatom in more or less the way we have it now. And then Ra also brings in your idea that it'll raise the soul from Gehenna. Where does this idea come of everybody saying Kaddish? I just want to finish with this point, and I brought you a lot of tshuvas. We're not going to have time for everybody to read them all, but I brought you a few ideas. There's no question that the original minhag was that one person said Kaddish. Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I cry out, Havu Godel Elokeinu, you plural respond. That's the source for Kaddish. One person says it. Having said that, the machlokas that caused led people already by the 1700s, 1800s say, you know something, everybody say Kaddish. And the Chai Adam just says, you know something, two people can say Kaddish together, it's not a problem. The Aruch HaShulchan brings late 1800s. Our minhag now is lots of people say Kaddish together. And I brought you two very interesting tshuvas from the Tshuvas van Hagas of Rav Moshe Sternbuch. And I'll just summarize basically what they say. And at the end, I brought you a tshuva I mentioned at the end by Rav Aviner. Rav Sternbuch mentions a few things. He says, the Ashkenazim like to say Kaddish in a big group now. But he says the Sfaradim always said Kaddish in a group. The Sfaradim were always into praying together. He says, and actually he quotes the Binyan Sion, Rav Yaakov Etlinger, who says, and you know something? It's kind of in their genes. When Sfaradim daven together, it's a very funny observation, they daven together b'shalom, and they all seem to do the same thing at the same time. I go to a Sfaradi shul, and I'm always amazed that some guy knows exactly when to start saying, I'm always really nervous, they're going to point at me, or something, and I'm not going to know what I'm doing, and I'm just going to say, like, Ani Ashkenazi, slicha, you know, put my hands to surrender, even though I look pretty Sfaradi, but somehow they all know exactly what they're doing, and they say it all together. So Rav Etlinger says, that's with Sfaradim, but Ashkenazim, you can read in the Tshuva, he says, when you get more than one person saying it, they're all competing with each other. This one has to finish faster, this one has to say it louder, and he says, and it becomes a joke. It becomes a chuchach tlula. It becomes a total disgrace. Everybody's saying there's the fast guy and the slow guy and the loud guy and the quiet guy. And therefore, people, Ashkenazim, just don't quite have what it takes to say it together. So the Chazon Ish was very unhappy about people saying Kaddish in a group. He said, you should really only have one person saying Kaddish. He said, it's like having two shlichei tzibur, both competing, saying different things. Who are you listening to? And you can't trey kali lo mishtama, you can't really hear two voices at the same time. People have to answer Kaddish. In fact, in Bnei Brek, one of the minhagim is that they split into smaller minyanim, Rav Moshe Sternbuch brings this down, so that you can have one person saying Kaddish in each minyan. Because they're not going to be able to say it all together, but each one wants to say it.
Doesn't that contradict Ravam?
So yes, so he brings the Chasam Sofer, and he says, but that's the problem, because the Chasam Sofer says, the bigger the group, the bigger the Kiddush Hashem. What are we trying to do here? We're trying to do Kiddush Hashem. We're not trying to get you to get your parents out of Gehenna. That's very nice, it's very important. But the real thing we're doing here is Kiddush Hashem. So breaking up into smaller minyanim, Rav Sternbuch says, I'm not sure exactly what it achieves, but he brings it down. Rav Yaakov Emden said, I think it's a good idea for the Ashkenazim to take it, to work out what it takes to daven together. And Rav Moshe Sternbuch says that when in his shul, he brings everybody together to the bima, and they all say it mila, mila, word by word together, and he gets rid of all of the competition. I just want to mention at the very end, you can read it in English, a tshuva of Rav Shlomo Aviner. Rav Aviner says, he was asked, look at the question, it's a very interesting question, and I'll just give you a one-line answer. Question. I was commemorating, someone asked him, a yahrzeit and leading the service as a shliach tzibur. And when the time came to say Mourner's Kaddish, I heard a guest start to say Kaddish in a loud voice. What should I have done? Attempt to say Kaddish even louder than the guest in the hope that my voice would be heard, like this is my Kaddish? Or should I have remained silent and allowed the guest to recite Kaddish by himself? And Rav Aviner, you can read the answer, says to him, you certainly should not be trying to compete with the guy saying Kaddish. You should either just keep quiet, because you're the Shliach Tzibur. You've had another 10 Kaddishes, you know. You don't need this Kaddish. They haven't had one. Or he says, this is what you can do. You can say very quietly under your breath. And if you want to say Kaddish and not cause a ruckus, you can say Kaddish quietly to yourself. I mentioned last week, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to do this for people that he wasn't actually obligated to say Kaddish for. And the Amen goes on those Kaddishes as well. That's absolutely fine. But he says, don't compete. Whatever you do, don't compete. Just keep quiet or say it under your breath, etc. And hopefully, you know, we'll find a way to be able to do this in a way which really is a Kiddush Hashem. Next week, I realized I need to commit an entire shiur to women in Kaddish, because it goes to the issue of obligations in communal prayer. It goes to all sorts of hashgafic issues. So we're going to really get our teeth into that next week, Be'ezrat Hashem. And then we'll have one shiur before Tisha B'Av, looking at something more Tisha B'Av oriented. Be'ezrat Hashem.
You can take it. I have it on the computer. And,